Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone and open the meeting. And we acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. So I just want to advise all persons in attendance that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. So I just ask if any elected members have any declarations of interest for tonight. No? All right, so moving on to confirmation of minutes. Do I have someone to confirm the minutes from the previous meeting? And I'll just make note that the screen has been updated with a couple of where they had forgotten to put my name in when they had to state on confirmation of minutes my name. Okay, so we've got Councillor Hutchinson, you're moving the minutes, and seconded by Councillor Pryor. Thank you. All right, so, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. We'll move on to the confirmation of the Finance and Audit Committee meetings. I'm looking for someone to move that, Councillor Telfer, and I do note that there is Mr. Parnell's name to be added into the attendance list there. Someone to second that, the minutes, Councillor Hutchinson.
The Finance and Audit Committee looked at customer service review, and it's coming up in the agenda soon.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. Councillor Hull, you have a question?
I do. Madam Deputy Mayor, this morning I heard you on radio on 891 talking about LED lighting, and one of the questions posed by the broadcaster was where will the savings go, and does that mean cheaper rates? So the question I have for you, given that the rates are referred to on page 21 of this report, would it be reasonable to say that the savings that will be made with LED street lighting and other initiatives, particularly those that have been even in our agenda tonight, will actually contribute to actually keeping the rates low, that it's all inherently beneficial to the citizens of Marion in terms of their rates?
Thank you, Councillor Hull, and I think that's a good comment to make. And yes, I think all of us here are trying to keep those rates low. So yes, it will be inherent in that consideration. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. We move on to corporate reports for decision. And we're looking at Warridale Open Space on page 28 of the agenda. Got someone to move, Councillor Hull, and seconded by Councillor Pryor. Do you wish to speak, Councillor Hull?
Yeah, just quickly, I would like to thank the staff for identifying Warridale as an area of need in terms of open space provision. It might sound that there's a bit of irony in the fact that Councillor Pryor and myself did support the sale of open space recently, being Louise Avenue. But after exhaustive examination of that reserve, one building block by the way, we realised that it had little potential to be expanded, and that money will be invested in the very fund that we're talking about here tonight to actually be able to afford to buy usable and practical open space, Madam Deputy Mayor. That's what that's all about, and that's been, you know, part of the qualities of this particular council. Mind you, it was a fund that was kicked off back in 1995 and has delivered Jervois Street as an example in the north, and this is just a position of intent by the council in terms of Warridale. So I urge you members to consider this. It's an area of need, and it's just acknowledging that and also giving instruction to the staff to actually be alert for opportunities where we may well be able to create that open space.
Thank you, Councillor Pryor. No? A question from Councillor Crossland?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. It's a question to staff. Just questioning point three. Now, does point three mean that we are going to go off our normal policy for Warradale and actually give it service and upgrades completely above and beyond our service provision that Council has agreed? Because it may be misleading to residents that that's how it reads to me, and so I just want to clarify that.
Through the Chair, no, that won't lift the service provision to any different beyond what we're delivering across the city. That approach where we look to connect open space would be applied citywide.
In that case, I would respectfully request the mover and the seconder to consider removing point three, because I think that is a little bit misleading to residents.
Madam Deputy Mayor, the angle I have on point three is that with the limited amount of open space we've got, the least we can do is to actually make sure the open space we've got is usable and practical as a priority. It's not to say that it actually gets anything better than the rest of the city, and that's been mentioned by staff, but it is important that Warradale, with its shortcomings in open space, at least provide the amenity on the open space that currently exists to the service standard that we expect. So it actually helps us with our prioritisation. It's not about giving favourable attention to Warradale. That's my take on it. I assume that the seconder has a similar view. And for that reason, now it's been explained, I hope members can see the worth of point three.
Is anyone talking against the motion? Therefore, I put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. next one is the Playground Data Collection Report on page 32. Do I have someone to move that motion?
Yes, I better.
Councillor Hull, seconded by Councillor Tilbert.
Yeah, there's been some great work done on this today by others, Madam Deputy Mayor, I don't want to be seen as plagiarising this, but it is something that that I believe in, and I believe the Infrastructure Committee believes in. And because the Infrastructure Committee is mentioned heavily in this, and once again, the staff have played a role in formulating this motion as well. Here it is. So the motion, I guess, the staff would have, given that the staff wrote it.
Yep, you should, Jamie.
Yep. Now, Madam Deputy Mayor, there has been some concern about the wording of the last part of this, but if you look at it in terms of the good work that the Infrastructure Committee is doing in terms of smart cities, it's actually just an explanatory comment to indicate that it's along the lines of the intent of the Infrastructure Committee. But this is actually more specific in terms of playgrounds. The Infrastructure Committee has a fairly broad agenda with this, as you can imagine. So I'm happy to move that. Got a seconder, yes. Madam Deputy Mayor, this is the first time that we as a council have actually had the opportunity to put our hands up for smart cities. Now, back in the late 1990s, this council called itself the Smart City. There's still signs around. we never actually walked the talk. We never really got there. And at the same time, we actually had ancient IT equipment bubbling away in the background. So it was less than smart. This is starting to get to the cutting edge of local government and information technology. Now, we've got a meeting with Sage Technology Thursday, as a group, as an example. We actually have the technology providers in our city. We're so really, really lucky to have not only Sage but others, particularly based at Tonsley. So whatever we do here will hopefully be in partnership. This is a message of intent to those future partners that we're willing to put money where our mouth is about this. And in this case, Madam Deputy Mayor, very quickly, this is about us for the first time being able to collect data about usage of our reserves and facilities. We've never had reliable data before. We've always sat here wondering, how much does that playground use? This will help us define that.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Councillor Telfer.
There is value in measuring because there are empty playgrounds as well as active playgrounds. And we need to know this, and we need to prove the fact that the neighbourhood playgrounds are used more than the local playgrounds, because there seems to be a certain guesswork in all of this. And we have from local neighbours the need to have a local playground on their doorstep, and then they drive past 10 others to go to the playground they choose. So we need that data.
Thank you. Question, Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I'm just querying page 36. It's a flow on from the heading on the previous page, number 2, face-to-face interview data. I'm a great believer in qualitative focus group type research, particularly in grey areas, as we have here, very grey areas, and they're grey from area to area, different
What's
shades of grey.
What's the question, Councillor?
So the question is there not a conflict between the third and the fourth paragraph on page 36? The third paragraph reads, this data collection, referring to face-to-face interview data, this data collection will be the most informative and provide greater measures to inform future works. We'll also collect subjective data that will let us know, I don't know whether subjective is the right word, that will let us know what residents want, use and need. But the next paragraph, second sentence, says, at this stage this option is not recommended as there are more cost-effective solutions available to council. Now, I know it's not a direct contradiction, but to me it is a mixed message. And I would certainly like to see, for the sake of accuracy and more information, an investment as put there, $48,000, considered by elected members.
Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, the report at this stage is recommending that qualitative data, which would add additional information onto that data capture through sensor technology, that we explore capturing that through use of existing resources and incorporate that into engagement when we're out speaking with community members around playgrounds as well.
Can I just reply to that briefly?
No, only if it's another question. Right, anyone speaking against? Sorry, another question. Councillor Velescu.
First of all, I know we've chosen 3 playgrounds initially. How are we going to judge where else we're going to put these sensors?
Through the Chair, I think this will be one of the pilot projects that Council undertakes as part of the Smart Cities approach. So through that pilot, we'll learn and evaluate, and that will inform future sites where we use sensor technology.
So do we have any idea, and if it needs someone else to tell them, so that's fine if they're more hands-on with it, do we have any idea where we'll be measuring what are the characteristics of the parks we want to measure, and why?
Through the chair, and staff can correct me, but at this stage we haven't got clear sites indicated. That's the work that we'll undertake and over the next coming months, and we will come back to council and inform them of the recommended sites. In selecting sites, what we would aim to do is to have a range of playground hierarchies, so we get data across the different playgrounds.
The reason I ask is that are we looking to see where there'll be wear and tear? Are we looking at upgrades which aren't getting used? And will we need more sensors? Because you've got three in one suburb, we've got 80, 90 odd playgrounds. Should we have more sensors later on? And I've got another question.
Through the chair, that's a good question. I mean, the pilot, it is a pilot project, and from that pilot, council will get more information about what technology it wants to use, how much. My understanding is with the sensors, what we can do is once we've used them to evaluate the selection of playgrounds, we can then move them to another selection of sites. So you would use it for a period of time, gather that data. The data that you would gather from the sensor technology would be things about, you know, how often people are using it, the times and days of the weeks that they're using it as well. And that data will then be used along with the other assessments we do with condition audit that helps council make some informed decisions about its playgrounds.
I just wanted probably a little bit clearer as to why and how we'll use the data, but that's okay. And also, will we be then looking at qualitative data after we do these surveys? So, for example, if we've recently upgraded a play space and there isn't the activity there we would want, would we be actually be going out to see, okay, we spent $300,000 on this, how can we bring people in, what's stopping people? Will we be doing that as well and then measuring the use after that?
Through the chair, yes, that would be the approach that we would use, and in the report we're recommending not only the use of sensor data but also using staff resources to capture that qualitative data, incorporating those questions into the community engagement activities that we undertake. So it's gathering a range of data sources to better inform council on decisions around provision.
Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Crossland.
Yes, I was just wondering, I saw in the report somewhere that they can be moved. I think you just referred to that. Do we have any idea, ballpark, how much it costs to move the, like $48,000 worth? Like if it's another $40,000, I'd be a little bit wary. Thanks.
Through the chair, so the costs are, for the technology, it's a leased, we're leasing the technology and you can move it to different sites as well.
So we don't have a cost at the moment. That, I'll accept that. No, if there's no indication yet. And I'll just take the liberty of quickly saying that I was a little bit surprised when I saw that kind of figure, but I also... Well, that's true.
Just through the chair, just to clarify, there are no costs to move the data, the sensors.
Yeah, in the report it says the $48,000 will allow us to probably monitor up to 12 different playgrounds. Mine's just a really bit of a follow-on question can we actually keep the actual playgrounds other than the ones in this report from public debate? Because from experience, when we've mentioned monitoring usage of playgrounds, there may be a tendency to influence that data by people that live nearby. So I think it'd be, although you've mentioned three in the current report, I would suggest it's probably better not to publicly say all the other ones that we're monitoring, and then we know it's a genuine data set. Something that's possible.
Through the chair, yes, we can definitely do that.
All right, anyone speaking against the motion? No, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Moving on to leaflet advertising on car windows on page 38. Have someone to move that motion? Councillor Velescu, a seconder? Councillor Hull? Yes, Councillor Velescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I understand that the leaflets on private land, such as shopping centres, are something that would need to be brought to us by the shopping centres, but there is a lot of leafleting on private, on public land, being council land, council roads, particularly around centres of interest, be it railway stations, outside of shopping centres, places like that. So hopefully we can actually be a little bit more proactive in that domain. Thank you.
Councillor Hull.
Yes, I agree with the findings of the report on this. I did attend a meeting with the State Manager of Westfield about this very issue, and he went to lengths to assure us that it wasn't a big issue for his organisation, and that when it actually does happen, his staff are pretty prompt to try and address it. However, I think we all know who the main perpetrator is. I won't name him. And we all need to be vigilant for his activities in our city. It probably won't be the last time that we'll hear from that particular establishment. But fortunately now is in the City of Mitcham.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those... Sorry, was that a question? There's no debate left, so it's fine. All those in favour, can I have your hand again, please? It's carried unanimously. Okay, moving on to Remnant Vegetation Action Plan, which is on page 40. And I must say that it was just lovely to see all the positive comments that came from the public about this report. So moving the motion, I've got Councillor Crossland and seconded Councillor Telfer. Councillor Crossland?
Just like to speak briefly, again, just to mention what a fantastic report it is. When I was rereading it, I remembered the enthusiasm by Jerry Smith and the great work in this report. I think this is a really positive outcome for all residents. It's going to really add value to our open space, as well as our credentials of looking after the environment.
Councillor Telfer.
I was very pleased in the report on the emphasis on woody weeds and the whole need to explain to us all about woody weeds, because that's where the cost is. A lot of the higher cost is to keep removing weeds, and then the native plants will be there.
Thank you. Has anyone got questions? Okay, Councillor Gard and then Councillor Hull.
In this stunningly complete and interesting and informative report, I only have one question that really comes to top of mind, and that is that whereas I understand and appreciate the need for native species to ensure that other species thrive, be it fauna or flora, is it the intention of our treescaping strategy to ensure that the native species are not shrub-like species that don't do the job of providing, first and foremost, shade and cover and canopy for the City of Marion?
Councillor, through the Chair, the intent of this Remnant Native Vegetation Plan is to protect the native vegetation there that's still remnant before the European settlement occurred. So that sort of shrubbery or growth that was there before white person arrived will be the sort of growth that we'll be looking to preserve and enhance.
And more specifically, my question through the Chair, Mr. Lyons, is in relation to the choice of species for treescaping, that those species not be diminutive, as some of them can be, and that they do provide shade, cover and canopy for the entire city of Marion as they go in.
And that's an excellent observation, and we'll take that on board. Councillor Gard.
Councillor Hull, and then Councillor Velisco.
Madam Deputy Mayor, on page 53, it refers to the most pristine part of Marion being the marina. And would it be fair to say that since 1946, there's been a significant improvement in the vegetation and greening of marina?
Mr. Lyons, do you want to...
Councillor Hull, I can't comment on the historic increase in vegetation, but I will confess that Marina currently lags behind the remainder of the city, and we will be looking to increase that.
Thank you, Councillor Velescu.
Just a comment based on one of the councillors' comments. If we are looking to... we need all levels. We need all three levels of vegetation. So we need ground cover, we need bushes, we need trees. So I don't know if the councillor was talking about having a preference for one, or whether it was a reference perhaps to shade in our parks as opposed to the native areas. But I just wanted to make that point.
Councillor Gard.
Just to clarify, no, it was strictly in relation to the treescaping of streets, not the, not the, in other words, to get typical street treatment.
We're talking about remnant vegetation here, Councillor Gard. All right, is there anyone speaking against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Right, we move on to page 116, to the Local Government Association Constitution and Ancillary Documents and the feedback that is sought for that. Do I have someone to move the motion? Councillor Westwood, seconded. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Kerry? Oh no, you want Councillor Gard? Councillor Gard, all right. There, just to note, before I ask those councillors to speak, that there's been some minor typing errors and they have been added to the list there. So, Councillor Westwood, over to you.
I think we need some of the blanks filled in, don't we? I'm trying to turn the page over, but I can't. All right. Well, in general, of course, I think it's very important to remain as part of the LGA. Sorry?
I think you're talking to the wrong motion, there, Councillor Westwood. We're talking about the constitution of the LGA and the amendments that... and the letter is the appendix one on page 120 that is proposed to be sent from Marion Council.
I withdraw my motion. Thanks. I think I've... in error. Thanks.
Councillor Velescu.
Happy to move as is, and we forward Appendix 1 as our correspondence, the letter that you've written or signed.
Yep. So, Councillor Gard, is that the one that you're seconding? Thank you. Do you wish to speak, Councillor Gard?
No, just that, well, I do just very briefly to comment that I think it is... an act of cleaning up. The one area that I would like to see under the microscope, notwithstanding it won't affect my seconding, is the fact that the Constitution does not have any dispute resolution clauses under point 4 on page 119. That's something that I would like to see qualified, but I feel the letter is in order.
Thank you, Councillor Gard. Yeah, we can add that in. That's quite a valid point, so we can put that into the letter. Thank you. Jason, Councillor Velescu, are you happy with that being added? Thank you. All right, anyone speaking against the question? Councillor Telfer?
is this the relevant spot to be raising the discussion about the 90 days of
yes,
finance?
It is.
Therefore, we would be wanting as a council to be including that in the DOT amendments, because it is not in our interest not to have 90 days after an election to be able to decide our position.
That is in the letter. Our questions, Councillor Hull and Councillor Villescu.
I have heard in recent days reference to the LGA, but I'd need to ask, they still exist or they're still going on? Like, you know, the only thing I've heard is
what's
about the rate capping program that they're part of. But the email banter about this today, about the 12 months notice to withdraw from the LGA, did they
6 months notice it is.
I'm sure that you wanted 12 months.
No, I was asking whether instead of a financial year it could change to annual year to help with them saying about the 6 months notice, and that would give us more time to consider. That was the question I asked today.
Well, why don't we actually, we've been caught with this one before, why don't we actually ask for 12 months so it gives you the opportunity between budgets to actually make a decision? We've been burnt by this one before as a council. So
Councillor Villescu, you're moving the motion. I will let you speak to that.
Well, just querying, if we've got at least, you have to have 6 months advance notice to leave the organisation, are we then asking to have 12 months, be required to do 12 months? I just wanted to clarify what to...
Yes, that's the clarification I do require, Councillor Hull. Are you meaning that instead of it being 6 months' notice to leave now, it be 12 months' notice?
No, I was just going to your email today. I was just clarifying what your intent was with that email about the period.
Okay. My intent with that was to question as to whether with the 6 months' notice, because that doesn't give much notice to a new council coming in the November to have that 6 month notice of getting out, that they're not experienced enough. So would the LGA consider changing to an annual year? So 6 months would mean 8 months after the new council was in. It means it's not aligned to the budget. Aligned to calendar year.
The irony is that very same council you refer will actually be setting a budget within that 6 month period. Inexperienced council you refer
yes.
to.
Yes, as we all know.
But if you are elected on an agenda, well, the LGA is not really in the best interest of the City of Marion. That
point
of relevance, would it?
Yes, I think we've had that question answered. And do you have another question, Councillor Hull, or move on? Councillor Villescu, did you have a question?
I'm just wondering whether we actually need to specify a time frame in point 5 of the letter, because we allude to it, but we don't actually mention 90 days.
That we'd prefer it, and that's what Councillor Telfer was referring
yeah,
to.
So can we actually
yes.
put that in there? And I'm happy if the seconder is happy to include that.
Thank you. All right, any more questions? All right, anyone talking against the motion? Can I put the motion? All those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Okay, we move on to, this is the Local Government Association membership for 2017-18, and that is on page 183. Someone to move that motion now, Councillor Westwood, this is the one you wanted to move. Was it Councillor Villescu, did you want to second that? All right, Councillor Westwood, if you'd like to talk to it, please.
Okay, just in brief. I've always said that it's important for us to be part of the LGA, and I prefer that we start thinking, if we haven't already arrived at it, that we should be trying to improve the LGA rather than leave it. because I think it is a very worthwhile mechanism for us to improve the lives of our constituents, basically. That's the very basic outline. Thanks.
Councillor Velescu.
Yeah, Your Worship, I think we are currently better off being part of the LGA at this stage. You will note that there has been a slight reduction in the annual fee, and over the next few years there is a reduction in total of 19%, bringing us down to around about 75,000, just under in today's figures. I think we have put this LGA on notice, and there is some significant restructuring happening with the organisation. There is still room for improvement. There's probably some things that they could have done better. The rate capping campaign probably came across to some as rather inwardly thinking, even though they wanted to raise some points about council autonomy. But I still think we are better off, and it lets us get on with the job. I don't believe there'll be any savings for us to leave, but we can look at other savings ourselves anyway.
Thank you. A question, Councillor Crossland?
Two questions through yourself, Deputy Mayor. The first one is, are we under a time frame to commit to membership of the LGA? How long have we got?
We have 90 days, isn't it? Yes,
through the Chair, it's currently 90 days to give notice if you want to leave the LGA.
So my question more is, when do we have to commit to be a member or not a member from today's date? I mean, if we waited...
By the end of March.
My second question is, at the moment we've got very generic information, and I know from what Councillor Velescu has said, he thinks we're better off and he believes we're better off. I'm not happy with, I think we might be better off, or I believe we could be. Is there a way of... actually looking at the generic information we've been given and transferring that to how much better off the City of Marion is? I know things like they're showing value for us being a member in having an internet web platform, which we're not going to use, so there is no benefit to the City of Marion. It's just things like that, and I just wondered if that information could be available.
In Appendix 2 of the report, the LGA's letter is more up-to-date information. They are preparing an updated LGA value proposition that isn't quite ready for to be released to the public yet, but they suspect that to be provided by the end of the month. There is a summary within the report that gives City of Marion specific things that they believe are of value to us. So that's on page 194 of the report.
Thank you. I have seen that, but I don't believe that that's an accurate representation of the benefit to the City of Marion. And on that basis, I would request a deferment of this item until maybe the next council meeting, just so that we get some staff endorsement on the figures provided by the LGA. So rather than guessing about the benefit, we actually get some true reflection of the benefits.
Okay, do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Hull? Anyone speaking against that? So we're just confirming the wording of that. Just deferred. So if you could just reiterate your words, please, Councillor Crossland, on what you want.
So just to defer until the 27th of March meeting for staff to confirm any benefit details remaining in the LGA. I think it's just which is basically the finances comparison of the
financial benefits as stated by the LGA. I'd like our staff to provide a report on the...
So you want the staff to comment more on
the value and the actual figures for the City of Melbourne.
Benefits are, rather than just having the LGA report.
That's correct.
Mr. Mitford?
Through the Chair, Council Cross, and what we can do in addition to that, if members would be comfortable in doing so, allowing us to do so, is provide you with the information that we provided to members last year that actually did that exercise.
Yeah, that would be great, and as long as it's an updated version, because obviously we're no longer going to be using the CMS platform, that was all in there, and there's other things in there that we're probably not getting the value that we thought we were. Just so it's clear, open and transparent, and then we can actually vote on something with up-to-date figures.
Yep, not a problem.
Anyone speaking against that deferral motion?
Point of order.
Point of order? Sorry, can't debate it. Sorry. Okay. All those in favour of deferring the motion? All those against? I'll just double check the numbers again, please. All those in favour? All those against? I declare it a draw. Six all. It's six all.
Sorry, through the Chair, as Councillor Byram is Deputy Mayor, she still has a deliberative vote, not a casting vote.
So, therefore, we go back to voting for the original motion.
So, members, just to clarify, as it was an even, there's no decision, and therefore the deferral has not occurred.
So we go back to the original motion, and that was moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Vilescu. Is anyone speaking against that motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour... We don't need to. All right, sorry, I am allowed. Yes, you are allowed to close the debate.
Good. Okay, well, I think from memory, when we had the debate earlier last year, it was pointed out to us convincingly, as far as I'm concerned, that it would cause a significant amount of disruption if we did pull out from the LGA, and I believe that there is more than enough benefit for us to be harvested from remaining in LGA, and I'd prefer not to have disruption.
Point of order.
Point of order has been called. Yes, Councillor Hull. What's point
this
of
is
order?
Not about us withdrawing from the LGA, Madam Mayor. It's about having more information. That is pretty clear.
I'm closing the debate on my motion.
He's closing his debate, yes.
Anyway, so I do think that there's no doubt in my mind that we should just remain where we are as a member of the LGA and not incur the expense of debating it any further, although that should be, because we're democratic, that should exist, of course, that opportunity. But I think that there's too much benefit to be had remaining in there for us to not do anything but remain a member. Thank you.
All right. All those in favour of the motion? Those against? The motion is carried. Division. All those in favour, please stand. So we've got Councillor Pfeiffer, Councillor Kerry, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Vilescu, Councillor Gard and Councillor Byram. Those against, if you can stay standing, please. Those against are Councillor Pryor, Councillor Hull, Councillor Appleby and Councillor Crossland. Thank you.
I'm happy for Councillor Telfer to move the motion.
We have a great group of volunteers. We are increasing the volunteers. There has been a report to the Audit Committee on volunteering, as well as the report we've got. I commend both reports to you, because they show this program is worthwhile and growing. So we need to keep progressing that.
Just on that, Your Worship, the organisation I work for utilises volunteers in our libraries. I don't do that myself. There's a variety of different things that are offered for our community, and it also provides a benefit both to the people volunteering and to those receiving those programs. I did have a question. Do we know if there's going to be a change to the police report process, whereby people, because I know they're doing it Neighbourhood Watch, people will register all their details and which organisation they're with, and if anything happens, there'll be real-time reporting. So I believe the organisation, the people won't have to keep on getting police checks. They'll just be told, you know, if I'm registered with Neighbourhood Watch, the local school and the library, if something happens and I'm deemed to be inappropriate from that, then they would let those organisations know automatically. Is that something that's happening? I didn't see anything in the report. I know they talk about it, Neighbourhood Watch. Councillor Hull might be able to be aware of it as well.
Through the Chair, there are two types of checking on people's status, if you like, police checks. We're going to the higher level one for the majority. It was reported at the Audit Committee for the majority of our volunteers, especially those in libraries, which didn't have to have that level that you're talking about until now. So yes, we will be, and that will continually update.
The system's changing, where basically you provide more information. That's happening with Neighbourhood Watch. You provide more information, and then you don't have to keep on reapplying every 3 years, but you're on the system, and if everything, any flags come up, the organisations to which you're registered will then be told. So is that what we're doing?
I believe so, Councillor. I'll have to confirm that, because I just want to be sure, but I'm pretty sure that that's what the HR team are doing.
Okay. Bring that up because there will be an extra degree of involvement for our volunteers, and I suggest that the people that manage our volunteers so well will need to have that extra level of tact in explaining the process and to encourage them to keep participating.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against a question, Councillor Hull?
Yes, Madam Deputy Mayor, for the third consecutive year in a row, I raise this question of the CEO and Mr. Lyons, and I've just sent it to you again, third year in a row. A motion that was moved and seconded by Councillor, moved by me, seconded by Councillor Vlescu, and the third part of it was that future reports capture and acknowledge the contribution of both City of Marion registered volunteers and other volunteers working within the City of Marion utilising ABS statistics. For the third consecutive year in a row, we haven't got that information as per Council resolution.
Through the Chair, I can't answer that, Councillor. I thought the question was asking for us to put a value on the impact of volunteers and putting that against a number per hour for volunteering levels.
We've always had that information.
Yep.
The point in the motion is fairly clear, I thought, and I had apologies last year from both Mr. Lyons and yourself, and here I am again asking the same question. Does anybody monitor Council resolutions? You've already seconded the motion. We've already voted on it.
We haven't voted yet.
No, I'm talking about the resolution that was passed General Council 13th of May 2014. 2000, well, I wasn't here then. But no, You know, like, I think it's reasonable for me to ask that question.
Councillor, we've let this one slip. I apologise. I'll get that information against ABS statistics and data so that we can get that back to you. And I apologise again for the second time.
It needs to be part of our routine reporting. It just worries me. Like, I think it's great to value our volunteers, in-house volunteers. But there's a whole army of other volunteers out there that go unnoticed. Council Rescue mentioned one, Neighbourhood Watch. They are volunteers. There's State Emergency Service people, Country Fire Service. You know, the Country Fire Service fought a fire alongside the MFS in our city not long ago. And there's heaps of other Sea Rescue. You know, like, I just think as a city, somebody needs to acknowledge these people that they're actually helping out in our community. And this is the opportunity, once a year, to actually pick up that thread.
Through the Chair, if I can respond to that, I'll bring back to Council a report on the volunteers other than those Council volunteers to which you referred, Councillor, and I'll bring that back as a priority.
Thanks, Councillor Hull. So, all those in favour of noting this report? That's carried unanimously. Now we move on to our confidential items, so I will have to ask people in the gallery to move out. The first one that we're dealing with, I think people know who can stay. They're looking at the Kaurna Native Title Claim. Can I have someone to move that we go into confidence? Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Okay, we can use mics again. I think in a workshop, are we allowed to use mics? Yes, that's fine. So I'll take questions later in a moment. Thanks, Councillor Pfeiffer. But I'm going to ask the CEO to just... I'm taking it that everyone has read the paperwork in their agenda, and I'm just going to ask the CEO to update us on the actual current position. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I can just state the objective, which I think is reasonably straightforward, but what we're trying to do tonight is to get everything ready for consultation, so the draft 2018-19 annual business plan and budget will be ready for consultation after tonight, hopefully. We'd like to note, or members should note, that you've previously considered the new initiatives that have been considered in the 1890 plan and budget. The set of 9 initiatives for discussion tonight will finalise the new initiative prioritisation process. Can I point out that we've got costings for 7 of the 9 initiatives, and they have been provided, but we need more time to identify the funding required for the 2 complex items we've got, being the smart cities and renewable and energy efficiency roadmap. So we would beg your indulgence on that we need to come back on it. Subject to Council's endorsement is proposed as well that we allocate $200,000 a year, for the Edwardstown Oval public toilet to be removed and considered as part of the citywide public toilet program. Mm-hmm. Scheduled for the 24th of April forum. So I hope that makes sense, and I'll pass you to the Mayor just for the process we're suggesting.
Yes, so just I'll ask you just wait for a second, please, Councillor Hull. So we've got our motions that we've got up there listed, and the additional motions are at the bottom of that sheet that you've just been given, the front sheet of what the CEO was talking about, removing the $200,000 within the draft budget and going to the toilet program that we're scheduling for the 24th, and that we're noting that the funding for the Smart Cities pilot project will be determined and provided to Council consideration at 8 May. Now, what we're asking members to do with this large A3 sheet is on the right-hand side, you have the choice there of doing a yes or a no for those initiatives. Before we go into any discussion, we're asking you to fill that out. It will come back up here. Fiona is going to collate that and it will go up on the screen. Now, just to make a point that you are also have on the back page what is currently already in the budget, just to remind you. Right, so I do ask members to just look at those sheets for the moment and to fill them in, and we will go to discussion afterwards. Is it a question about the process?
Do you want to get Ray to give an overview of the budget?
So before I go to your question, Councillor Crosland and Councillor Hull, I am going to have Mr. Barwell to give just the update on the budget for our consideration with this.
Okay, just to update, we had we brought to the forum on the 20th of February two positions based on rate increase of 1.8 and 2.2. At the top of your paper on page 239, you'll see we had a surplus position at that point of 181 for the 1.8. On page 237, the surplus position of 181 on the 1.8 and 474 on the 2.2 position. So on the paper on 239, which is as the appendix with all the initiatives, the remaining eight or nine initiatives now in there, we're showing that opening position at the 1.8%. And what's happened since the 20th of February is we've included the in the draft budget the to progress the project management software, and that's costing $125,000. We've also received confirmation of DIPTI open space grants for Halico Foreshore, which is $621,000. That project was already fully funded within the budget that was brought on the 20th of February. So essentially that frees up that $621,000 funding. Essentially, we can swap out our funding that we have provided for that and use that DIPTI funding to complete the project, with leaving that money free for other initiatives. And a similar position with the Fund My Neighbourhood programme, which is fully funded also, which is 150. So that effectively gives us a surplus at that point of 827. I'm happy to take questions.
We're not going to do questions on specific ones in this list until afterwards, but is it a process question, Councillor Hutchinson? Budget? Yes, all right, allow it.
Thank you, Your Worship. So given what you've just told us, Mr. Barmel, does that mean we could fund effectively all nine initiatives and still have a surplus?
Yes, it does.
So we don't need a rate. Right. We need 1.8 to achieve it, but we could go lower than 1.8 effectively.
Okay. It could effectively. In fact, what you see on the bottom of that page is a $249,000 surplus after those initiatives being included. Now, what you must note is that there's no funding for the Smart Cities product project in there. So there's funding to be left for that. We need to take that off as well. So really, that's the position we're at right now, and I suppose that's the position we need into this conversation around.
Councillor Hull, you had a process question.
I had a process question. And it should be no surprise to the administration me asking this question. With the Smart Cities project and the renewable energy efficiency one for that matter, particularly when we don't have any information about cost in here, is it possible to have some component of this as possible loans funded?
Sure. It's coming back in May with that funding, that more details in the May General Council meeting.
Because there may be the appetite within this council to do that, particularly when it might be proven that there's some return on our investment or potential return on our investment. So I just thought I'd flag that. That is very much a process issue in terms of our thinking.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Councillor Hutchinson. Good question.
Actually exclusive, I guess. Can staff comment on that, please?
Thank you, the Chair. At this stage, we are confident that we can endorse the initiatives notwithstanding, we need to have some further conversations around what happens with the smart cities and the energy efficiency and renewables projects, because if they are quite significant projects, we'd need to look at resourcing those separately.
Okay, Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Gard.
The nine initiatives, but on the page 235 we've been given, there's initiatives on there that we've never discussed or agreed to. When are we going to get the option of actually talking about the value of those items? Some are through motions, so we've had all the background information, but there's a few on here which we've never debated.
So just to talk to that, it'll be the 10th of April that the draft will be finalised, and that's when it goes to community consultation at that stage. Now, can you just be more specific on the 12 that you're talking about, which ones we've never discussed? Okay, members, what we'll do is on the bottom of your A3 sheet, if there is anything from that list on 235 that you would like to see removed or further discussion on, could you write them down the bottom underneath all the other initiatives? Is that clear, Councillor Villescu? Well, we'd like to do the voting on this other one first. Let's just go through the process that we have at the moment and then go there. But I think it's going to be quicker if we ask people to say which ones they'd like deleted from that list, or they're not sure that it should be on there. Rather than, we don't need to go through everything if people don't have the appetite for it. All right, let's continue with our nine, which was the original process, and then we'll go see where we go from there. Would you like to collect them? Sorry, Councillor Gard, yes? That's correct. Yes, well, this is the list you have, is that one that's on the 239, so you can just look at that colour coding yourself and make... On those five? No.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think I can confirm that. In particular, the urban activation of projects, just to confirm that that's not the funding that's already the council have already resolved for the program that's about to be implemented. It would be the next round of funding that will start in late 2018-19. So it may be that council wishes to review the first round of the program first before we commit further funds.
So what do you think about it? All right, members, while those are being collated, we go back to page 235. You can refer to 235, so we'll go green light, red light. So I'm looking for, we'll go down each item on that page, and I want a hands up if that's a green light. I go. Oh, you want us to write up? Yeah, that's easier again. Yes, thank you. A yes or a no against each of those. Yeah, you need to have it in front of you if we're discussing it. All right, let's just do a show of hands. Marion Cultural Centre External Hire Enhancement Project. Hands up for a yes. Can we just have them up so as I can count? What it is? Has we got someone who can do that? Only if we have the staff member here for that, Ms. Dixon. Right, one sentence, or, you know, quick verbal update on Marion Cultural Centre External Hire Enhancement Project, through, which is a once-off.
Yep, through the chair. So this would be funds to install lightings at the plaza, which would allow for nighttime activations such as night markets as well. Some of the funds would also be used for the development of mats to be used and attract hirers of that space as well. So small proportion won't have to do that anymore, that's correct.
Okay. So we're going to be seeing the draft in April. So this is just an indication at this stage as to whether there is an appetite for it or whether you want more information on it. Everything? So if we've already done a resolution on it, we don't need to worry about it because we've already voted on it. Tonight we've done the Remnant Native Vegetation Plan. We've already done the light square upgrade. Sorry? Okay, so you're able to for next, when it comes up as the draft, to have all of those listed. So, yes, Councillor Pfeiffer, I'm hearing that you'd like to have another workshop like this about that with that extra information at the end of the next meeting. Yep. Sorry? Councillor Velisky, you had a question? Today's workshop was to look at that A3 sheet with the unfunded initiatives. That was the workshop that we intended for today. But other people were asking for us to then start looking at this sheet as well. So now that we've found out that we want more information regarding that sheet, we'll defer this one, looking at it further, until next time when we can do a further workshop on it. Okay? I'll go around Councillor Crossland.
In this particular one there, and this, the ones that we're questioning, believe it or not, the ones that we've not had a motion to cancel, they're just being put on a list to consider in the budget, then they were added in. So we've had no conversation. If we're going to defer it, then there's no point in actually now asking a question about this particular item. But my understanding was that as an equal opportunities employer, we do our best to hire Indigenous people. In fact, it's in our RAP, and people with disabilities. And I don't think we need an extra scholarship to target those people. But I just want to confirm that our employment is a fair, equitable one, and we would favour someone with a disability or Indigenous background if they were the right person for the job.
Disability or an Aboriginal Indigenous background apply, they would get it if they had the same skills and experience as the other person applying for the job. But this was actually directly target those people to comply with our Reconciliation Action Plan. And so that's why we put it in. And there's been discussions around the Chamber quite a few times around what are we doing to actually meet our requirements, if you like, for employing people of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander background and disability.
Thing that actually gives people of an Indigenous background or people with a disability the experience to be able to compete with everyone else on merit?
Want to get into the workforce and finding it perhaps difficult, and we would, you know, there'd be competitive process, but they would have to qualify under the terms of this agreement.
Yearly program, so it's a 12-month rotation?
Yep.
What's the benefit to our staff of being exposed to working with people from with different levels of ability and more, and I guess Indigenous as well? staff. Is that something?
I would suggest that it could have some frustrations, but it could actually make people probably less judgmental, and it could be a great thing if we can do it well.
Councillor Appleby, I missed you. Did you want to have any questions?
Be done within existing budgets.
Through the Chair, I've got some very specific KPIs about increasing staffing numbers or staffing costs, and we don't have 120,000 to put on four trainees at this point.
Excuse me. Councillor Westwood.
At the risk of being repetitive, so we will, I guess, next time see this table expanded with those little bits of notes and whether they've been already voted on, etc. And I think that would be very helpful. But one question I'd like to pose is it of any use, because I think someone else has already mentioned it, putting in the items that have actually been passed by us, because that's well and truly gone, I would think. So I'll put that forward. Yeah. Thanks.
With the Disability Indigenous Endeavour the CEO's put forward, he's right. It's been raised not only in this council term but well before about being more inclusive with our workforce. And at the same time, we've put parameters on our CEO in terms of staff numbers. So we can't have it both ways. We either make that investment so we allow the CEO to do this, and it's done in a controlled environment because they're actually employed by an agency, and that lessens the workload with us in terms of selection and management. So I think we're talking the talk, and if we are going to live up to our rap, we need to actually invest in it, just like anything else on the budget. If you want it to happen, you have to invest in it. If I can get to one point that I raised, and I know Councillor Telfer raised, that hasn't appeared in our paperwork tonight, and that is public toilets. At the moment, we've got political things happening in our city. One of the first times that it raised as an issue was with the Fund My Neighbourhood project, where members of our community were nominating public toilets as projects to be considered by the state government. Now, with campaigning happening, we've got campaign candidates actually saying, well, where's their public toilet? They should have a public toilet. Now, regardless of whether some of these candidates and their parties, because you've got to have both for the deal to happen, regardless of that, we should be addressing this. And the paltry one toilet block a year that we've been rolling out and sometimes shuffling toilet blocks around the city at great cost has really got to stop. We've really got to address the need for public toilets. I put it to the administration that two additional toilet blocks per ward would go somewhere close to meeting community need. We should be starting to work towards that, and it's not in here. Yeah, but is that going to happen after I have the opportunity to put it forward as a project to consider?
The forum discussions are 24th of April, so that's still time for council to consider funding.
I'd be a lot happier if it appeared in some of this paperwork, because if it's not on the paper, it doesn't happen.
Well, I think we've got some definite agreement to have that broader discussion on the 24th of April. The challenge we have at the moment is that we need to really engage all the members around where they believe we have some gaps in toilet provision or oversupply, or whether there's some signage issues. So there's quite an in-depth discussion that needs to happen before we can add anything to the draft budget.
Okay, and maybe with our smart technology we're going to actually get some data about usage as well. That's my main concern, but let me just say, this is the first time that I've been really impressed with the opportunity with the extra funds coupled together with a low rate proposed. What a wonderful position we're in. What a wonderful position we're in. You know, and this is in the face of threatened rate capping and everything else. We don't have to worry about that
we're exceeding all expectations, and hopefully we can exceed the expectations of our people. That is the real test.
Just to confirm some of the things that other members have said about the list has some things that are obviously funded via council resolution and some things which are to be considered, not my favourite consideration, the weed steamer. The other thing is that down in the bottom half of this table, we have that tennis and netball facility upgrades, we've committed our full funding to that project. Now, we found out tonight about a funding shortfall in one of our tennis projects, and I don't know how we get that included in this budget work. Is there a facility for us to do that? I mean, that's money that's come from Nicole Flint through the federal election, the court upgrades at Warradale Park, and they're just 125k short. I think that would be a worthy consideration for this sort of list, and I don't know how we put that on there. Maybe the same thing.
Have you put onto this list for consideration for the next fortnight? Okay.
Just through the chair, either Adrian or the director, how many Indigenous employees do we have, permanent Indigenous employees do we have? Can you give us a rough figure?
I'm pretty sure zero. Yeah. Okay, my apologies. Oh, I beg your pardon, of course. Yeah, but not full-time. So you asked full-time FTE.
So they're casual.
Yeah.
And how long have they been casual before?
Well, we had one who just recently left, so I couldn't know. I'd have to take a notice, councillor. But I'll get it.
Deputy Mayor, just quickly with the Indigenous workforce, sadly in our society there are many Indigenous people that are unwilling to actually indicate they are of Aboriginal descent, and I think that's sad. I think that's very sad, and it adds to the complexity of measuring that question that was put to the CEO.
So just to let everyone know that there is an agenda item on the 20th of March elected member forum to bring all this information back in so that we can have further discussion on that. Thank you. Yes, it's part of the rating forum. The situation on the current workshop that we're on today. So let's have a look at those figures. Thanks, Fiona.
So we've just summarised the yes votes for each initiative. As I understand it, one of the items that was discussed previously was the regional sports facility manager, so I assume there's a resolution on that number 9 initiative as of this evening, so that one's already resolved, and then that the others have just their yes votes. So obviously the initiative with the highest votes outside of the regional sports facility is the customer management system, the single view of the customer, got 10 votes, and natural landscaping design and maintenance pilot projects with 8 votes, and then 7 votes for initiative 6, 7 and 8 equally.
so we can go back to our formal proceedings now.
So from that list, are we saying that the ones that got less than six votes are off the list? Mm-hmm. Is that what we're suggesting goes into a motion?
Well, it depends on what we'll put the recommendation there for the item numbers that
we want. Yeah, well, I'm happy to move that way to give it a try, that the ones that all the ones that got six or more go onto the list for the draft, mm-hmm. and we'll see if people vote that way.
There was no six, so it's seven or more.
Yeah. So that would be initiative number one, number three, number six, number seven, and number eight. Number one, number three, number six, number seven, and number eight. And I assume we don't include number nine, given that that's already been resolved. Yeah.
Right, so that's been moved by Councillor
Crossland. I'm just questioning whether nine should go in because
we've already passed the resolution on that tonight.
Okay.
Well, we've got a seconder first, please. Councillor Bilisky. Right, now, Councillor Crossland, do you want to say anything more to this motion?
Just briefly, that this is only a list to go onto the draft budget, so we'll get an option to discuss all these items again at workshops and before it's actually officially passed. So if members are really wanting to put something back on the list, there'll be plenty of opportunity.
All right, can I just question Councillor Crossland, as the mover, are you happy with number three and four that we put in earlier this evening?
No, I think we'd already agreed that...
That was the additional motions that were listed on the bottom of this sheet that you were given.
Yeah, I'm happy with the writing as it is.
Okay, and Councillor Bilisky, do you want to say anything? Did you want to say anything for Councillor Bilisky?
No, but I guess if we could have a quick total, that'd be great. A quick total, because I don't have the sheets here. So the funds, the amounts, someone's able to
the amounts
work
of the
out
funds?
What the new figures will be, that would be great.
Yes, can we have the figures worked out?
Yeah,
now, question, Councillor Westwood.
Yeah, well, that's along the lines of my question. So what kind of limit are we looking at, and are those numbers within the limits? I don't have any idea.
We were already told that earlier in the evening that it was within limit.
Those particular numbers, how did you know what we're going to select?
All of them could have got in. So that's now under. Yes. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. For the sake of the minutes and also my sanity, can we actually have the names of the projects in there as opposed to the numbers? They're not even numbered on the sheet in our papers.
Thank you. Do we have the figures now for the finances?
It's a total of $115,000 as opposed to the original amount of $517,500. So that we've taken off some $400,000. That's in the annual budget, not the long term. All right. Plus, members, there's an allocation of $48,500 for smart cities tonight, so that needs to go on top of that, so it gets to 250-odd. And 200 out for Edwardstown, at best. Yeah. So it's $150,000.
So it sounds like we're under what we started with at the beginning of the evening.
Yep.
All right. So we've had a mover and seconder. Anyone speaking against the motion? Further questions? Councillor Gard and then Councillor Bilisky.
Yes, I am speaking against the motion.
Sorry then, I'll stop you, Councillor Gard. I'll have a question first from Councillor Bilisky.
What's the percentage rate for the long-term financial plan in the draft budget at the moment? the long-term plan is based on a 1.8% rate all the way through, so it's from 18-19 plus 1.8. The existing adopted budget long-term plan is 2.2%. Okay, but the 18-19 and year, forward years is based on a 1.8% all the way through the long-term plan. Okay, so what it is currently is 2.2, but what we're looking at is 1.8. And where does that sit as far as CPI for this year and beyond?
CPI, Adelaide CPI is currently 2.3%. It was originally based off, we look off the September CPI, which was 1.8 at the time. So currently it's gone up to 2.3%.
And which CPI is the proposition for rate capping working on?
Yeah, it will be the Adelaide CPI, but obviously we don't have details of how they're actually going to calculate that yet, but it will be based off that.
Thank you.
If I can, Chair, just to Councillor Gillespie, just elaborate a bit further. The experience interstate where they've had rate capping is they typically start off as the baseline being the CPI, the applicable CPI, and there's some sort of small margin that they add on to take into consideration the general higher costs associated with local government. So it's typically the CPI applicable for that state plus a small margin.
Can I talk to the seconding the motion?
Yes, you haven't spoken as yet.
Thank you. Well, look, I think this council needs to be congratulated, the staff need to be congratulated on the fact that we have actually reduced the rate rise. That said, we still need to be vigilant on not wasting money, and I think that's council's still got that appetite. I guess we've shown that you don't have to actually have state government interfere in your budgets to get below CPI indexes, and people know, at least in the City of Marion, doesn't matter, you know, I guess who's elected, they're going to have CPI or below, and it seems like it's going to be below in the next budget and in the long-term plan. So I think that's important to note. But also we shouldn't rest on our laurels, because it is quite easy to let the ball go and have the days we had, not so many years ago. So
thank you, Councillor Velescu. Now, Councillor Gard, you were speaking against the motion.
Yes, I am, Your Worship, and quite passionately too, because for a start, we're talking about a filtered list. It's come down from quite a few more items. There's been a great deal of thought go into all of these particular candidates for projects. They all, to me, seem to be very valid. One or two might be line ball, and they seem to be smaller ones to me as to whether they might go into the following financial year, 1920. But I also quickly grasp Councillor Hull's point that this is the point, the very point, and the very thing that I've discussed so many times before, that we do need to countenance the use of, in kinds of debt, rather than the use of assets at every turn. And we're just blindly looking at this project as if we're going to draw down on assets no matter what, before we have a policy on what is valid, what items are valid for incurrence of debt and what aren't. And the final thing is that we are here to raise money from rates and to spend it wisely. And I find it very hard to find any item in this list which is not a wisely conceived item. So I can't for the life of me see why you would want to refine a list, a quite substantial list, down to a very good list of eight now, and then start to kick some of those eight out. I just can't see the point. I think we're just grappling at straws and being miserly. And that is not what we're about if we're into good governance.
Anyone else speaking for the motion? Yes, question, Councillor Hull.
That we this is only the first bite of the cherry, and in terms of the opportunity for us to fund anything by loans, that can be initiated at any point in the term of this council. Is that a reasonable assessment? But look, you know, I had that comment earlier that we will be looking at the opportunity to loans fund those items I talked about before, being smart cities and some of the energy efficiency or energy production even quests that we might go on. So am I right in actually, is my summation correct?
I think you've done a great summary there, Councillor Hull. Does anyone else wish to add to it from staff?
Yeah, so you're actually correct, Councillor Hull. Obviously, any point in time ought to be adopted, which is on the 24th of June, we can consider that. And there is capacity when Council does have capacity to borrow within its existing status, the mental status.
Put the motion. All those in favour of the motion? Those against? The motion is carried. All right, we move on. We have a motion without notice tonight. And it is an amendment to meeting procedures from Councillor Hull. And I've allowed that to be included tonight, seeing as we have time.
Your Worship, for the benefit of the meeting, you'd be explaining why this one does not require the usual notice to amend? Or maybe
I'll let
can.
Councillor Hull talk to it, and that will explain why. I will let Councillor Hull talk to that now.
Okay.
Once we've got it up there, thanks.
Councillor Hull. Madam Deputy Mayor, in the recent review we had of this procedure, this policy, we didn't realise that we're actually limiting our ability to fully explain questions. Now, the way it is right now is that if you can put yourself in the shoes of Detective Crossley, if he was interviewing a felon and decided I'm going to put this photograph in front of this character, and I want you to explain why is this photo of you. If you get my point, we can't do that. But reasonably, Detective Crosland could. So, you know, it's all about us being able to better explain our questions so there's no misunderstandings and then we actually get an accurate answer to our questions. And at the moment, given the change in the policy, we can't do that. So I'm sorry for using Councillor Crosland as an example, but I don't think I could have done it any better to actually explain why I want to change the policy back to what it was before, by the way. It was actually changed from this to what it currently is, and that's the intent of the change of the policy.
Can I add to that, Councillor Hull, just to explain further to members? It was in January that we actually looked at our procedures at council meetings and we made a change to comments, and we didn't realise at that time, as Councillor Hull has said, that we're actually affecting us being able to make comments when we ask a question. So this, what Councillor Hull has put forward tonight, is to revert back to allowing allowing us, when we ask a question, that we can make comment about it at that same time. Now Councillor Gard is wanting to second the motion. Councillor Gard, do you want to speak to it at this stage?
Your Worship, my question still hasn't been asked. That I asked at the beginning
it's
of the
done after we do the speaking of the mover and the seconder.
It was a procedural
then
question.
We do
it was a procedural question, Your Worship. The question was, we're changing something. Can we please explain why this has been, if it's okay to come without notice, we normally would have to rescind. I just wanted that explained at the meeting.
Can
This isn't a rescission motion, because what happened in January was the code of practice was revised and adopted. That happened in January. At any time, council can choose to amend that code. So this isn't a rescission motion. It's purely your amending your code, which you can do at any time, but it does have to be endorsed by two-thirds majority when we
take
the
vote. Thank
you
for that explanation.
Sorry, Councillor Gard, you may continue with your comments, please.
Yes, I wholeheartedly second the motion. I think any amount of qualification that's going to help comprehension is very welcome at any time, and I do feel that it adds value to our processes. Not much debate on that.
Now, Councillor Westwood.
I'm just concerned that if you remove this portion, what takes its place and what is left there in our code of practice. As long as if it's to revert to what was there before, is that effective? Is this motion have that effect? Does anyone know that? Because that's what I support the idea, but I want to make sure that we move something and don't have a vacuum suddenly.
Through the chair. Previously, it was silent on the matter, so it would go back to being silent.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Thank you.
Councillor Appleby and then Velisco.
I was just wondering, what was the impetus behind the change?
Through the chair, it was a motion put forward, it was an amendment put forward by members when I sought feedback on changing the code. Included in the report was the reason, and essentially it was that the question should purely seek facts. They should have a defined answer. There shouldn't be debate, commentary, or any supporting details submitted with a question.
Councillor Velisco.
I'm just wondering whether the impetus for the feedback was the actual question people asked shouldn't have the commentary, but commentary should be attached in comments, or whether it was to remove all the comments from the question being submitted, because I'm just wondering whether it was that people didn't want to say, you know, the actual comments are in the actual question as opposed to comments underneath it to give the question context.
I believe that people were worried about that debate was happening when a question was submitted rather than actually comments about why the question was being asked.
So could we actually have something that you can't have debate in the actual question, but you can put as much comment and discussion in the bottom bit, because I believe that's what's been excluded, as opposed to... Yeah, now there's nothing. So is it possible to people understand what I'm trying to say? If I ask a question, why are we building this skate park, and then I put on their comments, council has built 5 skate parks in the last week, here's photos of them, this is the budget. So the question just asks why, but the commentary includes my views and further facts.
That's how it was before. Thanks, Councillor Velisco. Is there further questions? So, is anyone speaking against the motion? No, I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Okay, it is carried by majority.
Well, I got into trouble last meeting because I didn't have any, so, you know, I'm glad sure I've got some tonight. Now, basketball, Madam Deputy Mayor, I read with great interest in the Messenger, and I think the author of that article is here tonight with us, about basketball in West Torrens. Now,
this is the same basketball club that's located in our facility, and it has got great relevance to us. So there's pressure being put on West Torrens Council for them, the club, to have access to their old depot site, and I see this as similar to the Onkers arrangement with us with BMX. We have got an issue with Mitchell Park. It's problematic in funding and room and everything else. And I'd like to ask the question, can administration make some preliminary inquiries into the possibility of assisting the City of West Torrens and the Panthers, I think they're the Panthers, with their quest for a suitable basketball venue for the south of Adelaide?
Can we have the wording of that again? Thanks, Councillor Holt.
Well, could the administration contact the City of West Torrens to explore the possibility of a joint approach to a suitable home for the South Adelaide Basketball Club?
Okay, we don't record questions without notice, but the CEO has taken note of that.
Okay, so we'll get an answer at the next meeting. Yeah.
Thank you.
The other question I have is campaign posters. Now, around at least two reserves in the ward that I represent, there are signs up indicating that if that particular candidate is elected and his party is elected, he will give a certain amount of money, and he sent emails around to everybody and had corner meetings. In the case of Crown Street Reserve, which is in Dover Gardens, has that particular MP, his MP, Corey Wingard, has he had any contact with council staff about this? Because we ourselves don't even know what we're going to do with that reserve, let alone have this electioneering impost put upon us. The residents, I've been down there, and the residents feel it make a great dog park, but obviously Mr Wingard is not aware of what residents want, and we don't know it, but nobody's done any proper consultation. So can the staff advise me whether there has been any collaboration between the candidate for Gibson and Liberal candidate for Gibson and the council?
Through the chair, Corey Wingard has told me that he's been talking with residents around both Hamilton and Crown Street Reserves. And he's putting up money, I believe it came out today, so to have 3-on-3 basketball court on Crown Street. And I think he's been talking about a toilet on Hamilton as an election promise. But we haven't done any door knocking around there. And he's saying that's what the residents want, and that's what they're saying to him.
One of the other things he's been saying is that he will actually make the area green again, that he'd irrigate the area. With a rainwater tank, mind you. Now, Mr. Skull, there's actually an irrigation system there that we've actually switched off. So, you know, I'm just looking to see whether there's been any cross-referencing with...
I think the key question is that has there been a discussion about council's contribution in any way, and there never has. And it's the same with other promises for the Marina Hall and... that there's no commitment from council to supporting these initiatives, which are 50-50. The one that Corey Wingard is talking about, that he will fund that basketball, because it's just a basketball hoop and a 3-on-3 with one hoop, so that his money would be sufficient. I don't know at all what he's talking about with the toilet, how much money maybe people do.
Councillor Velisco.
Just in regards to the campaign promises, like, money's always welcome, but I guess we need to know what our contribution is and how that fits in. So, you know, if candidates want to build things on our land and it's going to be minimal impact to us, that's excellent. And however, if there's something that's actually going to cost us more money, we need to know about it and have that discussion with the relative candidates. So it's good that people have interest in our facilities and improving them.
But yeah, I guess without having that discussion with the local, with council staff beforehand, and with the local members, it does make it a little bit tricky.
Says with the chair that I would bring that back to council if we're going to make a co-contribution to a hall or a park, and there's been no formal request for that to bring it back to you.
A bit like the rock pool down at Hallett Cove, it's exactly the same. There's another candidate, and that's in material that actually suggests the Marion Council will participate, and it's really unfair to actually drop us in the deep end of the rock pool before we've even had a chance to consider it.
Okay, we've gone beyond questions. We're just debating stuff at the moment. If I have got any further questions without notice. Okay, Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a quick one before we finish up. Can council staff advise what proactive work they're doing in addressing the fact that there are election signs that are greater than 1 metre by 1 metre?
All right, thank you, members. Now, I will ask members to just stay for 5 minutes after we do close. Sorry? You can answer the question, sorry.
Through the chair, my understanding is that they're being removed. We have removed a number of signs. If you go and want to go have a look down in the basement, there's multiple signs down there that have been removed by staff as we're coming across breaches.
Madam Deputy Mayor, the
members,
Nova 911.
They've already been taken down. They're in the basement.
Yep.
Okay, now, members, I do ask you to please just wait for 5 minutes after we finish the meeting, and I close the meeting now at 8:56. Thank you.
I could ask Tony to stay.